Night Long.
Hope you had a great week as we get ready to swing into yet another weekend. Oh, we're oh so close to warmer weather in most parts of the country. For all of you listening who live in the Southwest, in particular the Arizonas, and then if you go even further, California and whatnot, hey, you guys are used to some of this warm weather, but the rest of us have been dealing with a long winter ever since Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow, and we got six more weeks of the stuff, but it's starting to warm up. We're getting close to the first day of spring, and next week is St. Patrick's Day. How exciting is that? We have some great things to get to in this hour of America tonight. Boy, there's a lot going on, a lot of reasons to get upset and some reasons to actually smile. So we're going to give you a little bit of both of them. That's what we do here on America Tonight, and mix it all up in the mixer, and we'll see how it comes out. If you feel particularly passionate about health care and you have some great solutions, oh, please share. 800-259-5791. Nancy Pelosi keeps bragging that they're getting closer and closer to the votes that she needs in the House to get it through. But while she's saying that, more Democrats are pledging they're dumping out of it because they don't like the Senate's version that would include the opportunity for some of the people who would seek abortions to have that paid for by the government, no matter how it's worded. And unless that's completely stricken, there's probably at least six Democrats who will not vote, who did vote yes before, who will not vote yes in the Senate's version of health care reform. So I would say to Nancy Pelosi, that old saying about don't count your chickens before they're hatched is absolutely true, I think, in the case of health care. So we move from that, and we're always talking about it, to some of the big things that are happening around this country, some good news and then some very, very sad news. And some of the more depressing stuff has to deal with stuff like the school cuts that we mentioned last time around. I got a couple of letters from some very passionate teachers, and bravo to you for reaching out to America Tonight and a matter of 24 hours, and we'll get to that when I promise you this hour we get to the mailbag. But the school cuts are happening across the board in a lot of areas that are particularly hit hard by this recession, and you're seeing a lot of public schools not just having to cut out the arts and gym, but having to whack days from the school year and having to lay off thousands of teachers and trying to come up with some drastic measures to tighten up those school budgets because they can't make the budgets. And we're talking about everywhere across the board. I mean, not any one particular state you can look at. California hit really, really hard. Florida hit hard. Wisconsin and Maine, parts of Vermont. Really nobody is completely immune. Some of you listening know what I'm talking about because you have grandchildren in some of these schools, or you have children in some of these schools, and clearly I would be concerned as a parent about the cuts in education. It can't make you happy when you have a 8-year-old son or daughter going to school. You want them to have the best chance possible at a bright future and to get the best teachers possible, but what do? When you don't have the revenues, when the schools do not have the money. And as I said, people are reaching and trying to come up with solutions, some of them kind of crazy and kind of out of the box, and others, they just, you know, that's why the furlough days, maybe if we just agree to some extra days off, or if we freeze the pay, or we freeze the hiring. And maybe if we had greater contributions to health insurance, maybe that would work. But often it still is just not enough to save some of these schools who find themselves on a death's doorstep, and that's got to be tough for, I know, like I said, a lot of you parents listening to America Tonight. Well, if you listen to the president, he says, boy, we got a bright future. Jobs, we're going to have more jobs created, and think of all the jobs that are created as we continue to export our goods here in the United States. And the president's saying, we are the number one exporter in the world, but boy, I'll tell you what, China and some other countries are breathing down our neck, and they are oh so close. Listen to what he said earlier today.
We are rebuilding an economy where we generate more American jobs in more American industries by producing and exporting more goods and services to other nations. Now, in my State of the Union address, I set a goal of doubling America's exports over the next 5 years, an increase that will support 2 million American jobs. And I've come to the Export-Import Bank conference today to discuss the initial steps that we're taking to achieve that goal. The United States of America is launching a single, comprehensive strategy to promote American exports. It's called the National Export Initiative, and it's an ambitious effort to marshal the full resources of the United States government behind American businesses that sell their goods and services abroad. This morning, I signed an executive order instructing the federal government to use every available federal resource in support of that mission. That order has created an export promotion cabinet. We remain the number one exporter of goods and services in the world. So we've got a terrific foundation to build on. But we can't be satisfied with being number one right now. We shouldn't assume that our leadership is guaranteed. When other markets are growing and other nations are competing, we've got to get even better. We need to secure our companies a level playing field. We need to guarantee American workers a fair shake. In other words, we need to up our game.
All right, so we need to up our game. Do you think that we are upping our game here in the United States? Pretty much what I've seen is that people are struggling. Not every single one of you listening to me is, on the dole and down and out, but you might have an extra job. You know, you have two jobs, even three jobs is not completely out of the question, which that has to be tough when you have families and you're working these crazy hours. I honestly have no idea how people do it. There is one thing that is happening on the beat with police officers and in many other areas of possibility of jobs. This is happening as well. If you speak another language, in some cases, how you can get ahead, and it's amazing how valuable that's become to police departments. For example, in New York, they say that if you can speak a second language, particularly if you can speak a second language like something that would be relatable to the Arab American communities, you'd be incredibly valuable in that city. You know, if you can speak Arabic, makes a difference when they're out and they're, you know, the cops are out and they're investigating something and the people that they're talking to do not understand what they're saying. Same thing with Spanish. Spanish across the board is huge. Se hablo español. Could make you some big bucks. Hang with us.
As the economy continues to decline, patriots across the nation are preparing for the worst. The world is changing fast. Are you fully prepared? Or will you be forced to eat government soup? At PatriotFood.com, we offer you 135 pounds of dehydrated food and 6 varieties of canned meat for half price. And at SurvivalistSeeds.com, we now offer 50 non-GMO varieties of vegetables and over 10,000 heirloom seeds. That's twice as many as our competition for the same price. PatriotFood.com and SurvivalistSeeds.com. Food insurance, just in case. Owned by me, Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
You know, there are a few things more important in life than your sex and happiness. That's why we invite you to tune in each week to Tantra Cafe on WebTalkRadio.net.
A program for spiritual enlightenment.
It's hosted by Tantra teacher, author, and spiritual leader Lori Handlers.
And I am really so glad to host this show. This is my most exciting thing I do every week.
Join Lori Handlers each week for Tantra Cafe, exclusively on WebTalkRadio.net.
I love it. I love you. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it led back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy at 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Like that. I don't know about all of you. Hey, everybody. Kate, hanging with you here on America Tonight. As I said at the top of this when you cracked open the mic, we're getting closer to the weekend, aren't we? And that's the good news. In the meantime, I'm filling you in on everything in between. Boy, there's some interesting things happening across the country. Sadly, I mentioned the school situation and the fact that in the schools there's the struggle between what to cut and how do we make this, and, geez, isn't there a way we can save this teacher, and we hate to see this program go by the wayside, but we're barely keeping these doors open. Tough times in public education in particular, and, you know, private education depends on the school, but a lot of those schools are thriving a little bit more because, of course, you're relying on the tuition of the people that that go there, and they might have had some tuition hikes, but in the public schools, they are finding themselves, lots of them, not all, but finding themselves because of the recession in dire straits. We want to fill you in on a couple of things that are happening across the world, a little bit off of the shores. And, you know, lately, and this is always the case, isn't it, with Americans, how much do we invest in other people? When everybody leans on us, for as much as we can be attacked in the headlines, when everybody leans towards us and they want help from America, does not I mean, don't we respond? Doesn't America respond just like in Haiti or if Chile needs help or whoever it is that needs help, whether it's natural disaster or something else? I mean, it's like the situation in Afghanistan now and what some of the people are saying has become so crucial because of the crush of some of the core leaders. We'll see what that leads to in that country. But it's the human rights issues, I think, that Americans are definitely so good at. And as an American, you should be proud of what your country has done to help other people, no matter what they say when they try to kick the dirt back in our face. So there's always every year there's a human rights report. It's released, you know. And Secretary of State Hillary Clinton went into a little bit of her own spin on human rights and where we're at. And here's what she said earlier in the day.
That each person possesses equal moral value is a simple, self-evident truth. But securing a world in which all can exercise the rights that are naturally theirs is an immense practical challenge. To craft effective human rights policy, we need good assessments of the situation on the ground in the places we want to make a difference. We need a sophisticated, strategic understanding of how democratic governance and economic development can each contribute to creating an environment in which human rights are secured. We find ourselves in a moment when an increasing number of governments are imposing new and crippling restrictions on the non-governmental organizations working to protect rights and enhance accountability. New technologies have proven useful both to oppressors and to those who struggle to expose the failures and the cowardice of the oppressors.
All right, I think she made some good points, and, you know, again, about whether it's the people who are being oppressed or whether it's the nature of Americans in general and what we have tried to do on so many fronts when it comes to human rights. Speaking of that, remember when Barack Obama crazily was, you know, that's my opinion, was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize? It was kind of one of those things where, well, you know, the last 8 years you had that cowboy and, you know, we didn't feel like he cared about us in other parts of the world. Well, so Barack Obama gets the Nobel Peace Prize in 2009. He said he would donate the money. The money that you get for the Peace Prize, or he got, was $1.4 million. So what he decided to do was divvy it up between 10 charities. And, you know, some of them included the Clinton-Bush Haiti Fund, like $200,000 there. Another $250,000 went to the Fisher House. That's a good one. It's a group that helps provide some kind of housing for families or patients getting medical care at the Military and Veteran Affairs Medical Center, so the VAs across the country. I think that's a super good one because the families are so stuck in those situations. Then a couple of other had to do with education. In fact, a lot of them had to do with that, including the Appalachian Leadership and Education Foundation. That's a good one, too. I'm a little bit familiar with that, and that's about higher education for students from Appalachia, right? So he did do that. He did follow through on that, and that's a good thing, I can say that. In the meantime, you may have thoughts on some of the things that I mentioned before. 800-259-5791. Let's go down to Kentucky and our friend Jay. Hello, Jay.
What's going on, my midnight mistress of talk radio?
That was well said. I like that. Thank you.
Hey, you were touching base on some school closings.
Yes.
And, you know, a couple years back when I was still living in northern Ohio, they were talking about how they had to keep the toll road open because the funding from that and along with the big deal with the lottery was to fund the schools. Yet on top of them raising the tolls and keeping the toll road and having the lottery there, they were still closing down several high schools just in the Toledo, Ohio area. I just kind of found that interesting that yet they're still collecting the money and still raising these funds, but yet they're still closing down schools. Some of that didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, no kidding. That doesn't make sense to me either.
Have you touched? I basically just got into your radio range. I'm running a little behind tonight, but have you touched base on the breaking Harry Reid news?
Oh yeah, as much as we can rail on Harry Reid about his politics and the whole health reform.
No. I'm talking about
his family. Yeah, his family, his wife breaking her neck and the daughters. Well, yeah, I've talked about that. Sad.
Yeah.
It was a tractor trailer that hit them,
exactly.
Apparently.
Yeah, that's what I heard. It rear-ended them. I mean, I don't agree with his politics, but my prayers go out to him and his family.
Oh, absolutely. That's terrible. Yeah.
Well, I just want to touch base with you tonight, see what's going on.
All right. I love it. You have a great weekend there, okay?
Right back at you.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah, it is sad, and I agree with what Jay said, and I mentioned that in a previous segment on America Tonight. No matter what you think about Harry Reid and his bid to be reelected and some things that have happened in the push for health care reform, it's terrible news when, like I said, can you imagine getting that call? Everything's fine, and you get this call that your daughter and your wife have been in a terrible accident, and they can't give you many details, and they're at XYZ Hospital, and the Reeds have a grown daughter, and then they have four sons as well. So that's rough. I mean, a broken neck, and we don't know, when they say broken neck, that can mean a lot of different things as to the severity of it, but it can't be good. Originally they were saying critical condition at one point, I thought I heard, and then serious condition, and then the last thing I saw was that she was going to be okay, but she was in the hospital. So it had to be scary, and it was a tractor trailer. All I know is that the tractor trailer hit them, and that, you know, this guy, it was his fault, clearly. Reckless driving, I think, is what they're going to get him with, and, you know, it's rough, rough, rough news. To bounce back to what Jay was saying, you know, in the school districts, what do you do when you're under that budget crunch? I mean, imagine being Solomon, and you have to preside over this, and you got to figure out, geez, do we cut down the buses? Do we cut off these programs? How many teachers do we have to lay off? And ultimately, it comes down to, do we want the school to stay open? Meet you on the flip side.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com, or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
A revolution in smoking is underway. A revolution all smokers of traditional cigarettes should know about. Keep listening for a special offer from PowerVapor.com. Standard tobacco cigarettes contain over 4,000 harmful chemicals. Now it's time to release yourself from the grip of big tobacco and experience true smoking freedom. PowerVapor.com is an e-cigarette with the look, feel, and smoke of a real cigarette, but with no tar, no carbon monoxide, and no bad odors. Power Vapor's e-cigarettes deliver just the right amount of nicotine in a water vapor that looks and feels like real smoke. Yes, you choose from 4 levels of nicotine, and that puts you back in control. Plus, you'll enjoy 8 flavors and big savings over traditional cigarettes. Get the facts and see our demonstration video at PowerVapor.com. That's PowerVapor.com. Log on to PowerVapor.com right now for a special 10% discount and 30-day money-back guarantee. PowerVapor.com, the smoking gun heard round the world.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back. Go to PlantSkid.com. That's Plant, SKYDD.com today.
The mighty Roman soldier was given a daily ration of fermented fish oil. The stoic Scandinavian Viking had a drum of fermenting cod livers outside the door of his home. And Grandma always had cod liver oil in the cupboard. Today, Green Pasture Products, a family-owned business, provides high-quality, nutrient-dense cod and other fish liver oils made in the same way they've been made throughout history prior to 1850, through fermentation. Cold-fermented cod liver oil from Green Pasture is rich in vitamins A, D, E, K, omega-3, omega-9s, and more, but no man-made nutrients, only what the fish provides. Green Pasture's products are clean, independently tested for impurities, made in the USA, and come in capsules or liquids. Receive a 20% discount off your first order at greenpasture.org, and be sure to enter coupon code RADIO at checkout. Hurry, 20% discount only good for a limited time. Call 402-858-4818. That's 402-858-4818, or go to greenpasture.org today.
Show in California that's playing out. John Albert Gardner III had been returned to prison in 2007. He would have been evaluated for commitment to a state mental hospital as a sexually violent predator. So here's the scoop on this if you have no idea what I'm talking about. He's a convicted sex offender who's charged with murdering one 17-year-old California teenager and under investigation for killing another. And apparently he violated his parole by moving too close to a school, but he was allowed to remain free. They did not nail him for that. And that's just an incompetent, ridiculous decision. They didn't protect, I think, the people. Because Jessica's Law would have, I think, really been able to nail him. Now you got two victims, two dead girls, and who knows if there's anybody else that he may have gotten to, too. And the deal is the parole records show that they found him in that situation where he was in a half mile of a school, and they decided, because they could have nailed him there, they could have given him at least an electronic bracelet, but in September of 2007, they decided, let's just keep him on ice, let's keep him on parole. And then he had five other violations, too. And they let it ride. And And that's a disgusting, disgusting situation. This 30-year-old who was in prison for 5 years and 3 years of parole after he pled guilty to molesting a 13-year-old neighbor. And now you've got Chelsea King, 17, who snuffed out, had a bright future, boom. They find her in the beginning of March after 5 or 6 days buried in a park near her house north of San Diego, her family's home. And Amber Dubois, the 14-year-old who was walking to school and disappeared off the face of the earth, they found her skeletal remains over the weekend. And, you know, an upset about that because that's an easy thing. You know where we're going to go with this. He deserves the death penalty. It's too late. It can't help those parents or the siblings of those two girls, but maybe it'll shine a spotlight on helping the victims instead of the guilty ones. Let's go to Rick in Illinois. Hey, Rick.
Hello, Kate.
Hello.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing, buddy?
Okay, I'm still on overtime. So you say you're heading to Hymetown this weekend?
You are so bad. I think you're just trying to get me in trouble. I am headed to New York, yes. In fact, I don't know if I've said this on the air. I guess I can say this. I'm going to, there's a big, it's called a talkers, like a convention. And, you know, Sean Hannity and anybody that you can think of, I guess, on that's probably on any of your local stations will be at this thing. So it's going to be interesting.
I bet you might be at a parade marshal. I
was waiting for you to say that. Yeah, I'm the grand marshal. I will be at the parade, though. So I will.
You're not the grand marshal, yeah.
I'm not the grand marshal, but I will be at the parade, yes.
Be drinking that green beer now.
Of course.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'll be seeing you on Girls Gone Wild video.
Oh, let's hope not. That would not be a good thing.
Yeah.
You're awful. I think, you know what I think you are? Rick, I'm going to call you a swizzle stick. You are so good at, do your friends call you a swizzle stick?
Oh, there's other names they call me.
Oh, don't say, if they're X-rated, don't share them.
Yeah, you can't say it.
Okay.
The NCAA starts next week?
They have the selection. And then they go through. Yeah.
Okay.
Because remember, you have to, I say selection, they have to go through and announce and who's, it is selection. Who's going where and what bracket they're in and all that stuff. So it's coming up, and I'll be talking about it because we'll have another nail to score.
Yeah. Talking about Barack or Beast. We got big orders from the Europeans to order from us again, so they're starting to like us again.
That's a good thing. You're employed.
Yeah. And, I better get back to work if the boss can catch me.
I can tell that you're just like ducking. You're under the wire. You're incognito. I don't want to get caught. Enjoy the overtime. Thanks for the call.
You take care.
All right. You have a good weekend. You just never know what he's going to come up with when he joins us on America Tonight. Did you ever notice Donovan? He gets me in that quicksand. He puts us right up there. We're dancing around on the quicksand when Rick joins us.
Well, at least you get to talk a little bit tonight.
That's right. This is long-winded night here on America Tonight. And he was short and to the point. There's no doubt about that. Otherwise, everybody who called us, they just went on and on and on. It kind of reminded me of the new form of debating they do. I saw a documentary, and they were talking about, they did the documentary on debating and kids across the country that are part of these debate teams in high school and, you know, from all different kinds of high schools, affluent and not so affluent. But the key thing is that the kids know how to debate. And they have this form of debating that they do where they speak, I swear, like 100 miles an hour. And there are people that can understand what they're saying. And they do a thing called a flow. And then they have, you know, the affirmative and the negative, which I think you've always had in debating, but the way of debating has changed massively, and you have to be long-winded to do this form. It's kind of shorthand but high speed, and you have to be long-winded to be able to do it because you're constantly sucking air. And That was kind of like tonight's show, I think, for everybody who called in. They were so excited and had so much to say. There wasn't a way to jump in edgewise. Kind of reminds me of hanging out with my old Irish pals when I was back east. So everybody who's Irish talks a lot of blarney, and they talk fast, especially from the East Coast. Hey, coming up on America Tonight, in our next segment anyway, we're going to jump to the mailbag because I promised I would do that, so I'm going to. We're going to go back to Illinois and Dale. Hey, Dale, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, Kate. I wanted to ask you about the speech that Justice Roberts made, I think, at the University of Birmingham in Alabama.
Yeah.
In regard to the criticism by the president at the State of the Union. What's your take on that?
Oh, my take is, if I'm the Supremes, I'd say, okay, forget it. I want to sit here and sit on my hands and listen to this. And I mean, I think that Alito, when he was mouthing not true, I think he was right. I think Obama was wrong to call them out on the corporations and on their ruling. I think, you know, with the campaign contributions, I don't know. I think that was the State of the Union wasn't the right spot for that anyway. But
no,
still, even to call him out as the president, that's not right. No.
No, I think it was the purest form of antagonism.
Yes.
That I've seen for some time. I tell you, this guy, this president has no experience. He's going to do this health care bill come hell or high water.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't care what we think about it, Kate.
Mm.
He's a socialist. Let's just admit it. That's what he is.
I think he's, my word for this administration is ineffective. I mean, I think he's ineffective. You said it. He's ineffective and inexperienced. It's, you know, when it's funny when he was on the, it's not funny, but when he was on the campaign trail and it was all change and hope and everybody that was going to vote for Obama was really excited. He's a difference maker and now it's about power to the people and all this stuff. And now a lot of them are disillusioned. Some saying they wouldn't vote for him again. And I think that, when there were people that were critical, Dale, of Obama, and they'd say, geez, I mean, the whole experience thing, even the Clinton people kept going after him about the experience. Boy, were they dead on right. They were right. And it's showing. I mean, the thin skin, that's why and as you called it, was great when you labeled it, antagonizing the Supreme Court justices. I mean, that's purely is that whole thin skinness that you see and the relationship with the media, same thing when he gets dogged in the media, which is very rarely. But I hope the healthcare thing doesn't go through though, because it's not flushed out and it's not the right form.
Well, if they had the votes, they'd be voting today.
Oh, I agree. And they don't have the votes, and that's why I think it's another foolish thing to constantly talk about when this is going to happen. I wouldn't even say the dates. If I was playing for that team and I was the advisor, why would you even set a date? I wouldn't even set a date because it's as you said, it's obvious they don't have the votes because the second they have the votes, I guarantee they're going to go with it. They're going to roll with it and take those votes to the bank. But I think it's getting shakier than Obama thought. I really think they believe that they could have, like Rahm Emanuel and some of the other attack dogs, could have twisted more of the Democrats in the House, their arms, some of the centrists. And in the Senate, we know that it's all about reconciliation. So, my friend, keep your fingers crossed. Hang with us. Mail next.
Lose 1 to 2 pounds a day the healthy way and keep it off with the help of the entire Real HCG diet. With an average weight loss of 1.5 to 2 pounds a day, you can be in that bikini or swimming suit in no time. You've heard of people spending over $700 for this exact same diet at doctor's offices? Now you can start the entire HCG diet for under $100. YourHCG.com is the largest HCG reseller in the entire country, and we want to help you. We have helped thousands of people shed unwanted weight, so call YourHCG.com today. No prescription required. No doctor visit required. No painful injections. With every purchase, we'll provide you with everything you need, including your supply of HCG, unlimited one-on-one phone and email support from one of our amazing health coaches, in addition to a large list of menus, diets, and much more. Visit www.yourhcg.com or call us at 877-748-2709 to order your HCG today. Again, that's 877-748-2709 at yourhcg.com. We love you.
How would you like to own
two of the best pair of gloves in the world
for $19.95
plus shipping and handling and get two pairs for free?
MaxFit. Make sure hands go. Wow. MaxFit. Make sure hands go. Wow.
For only $19.95, you can own four pairs of the famous MaxFit gloves. Call right now at 877-552-5206.
Wow.
Whether you're working in your garden, moving furniture, how would you like to improve that golf swing?
MaxFit has thousands of uses.
It helps the grip of arthritic hands.
It even helps me play my video games better.
Wow. From the moment you slip your hand into a MaxFit glove, you'll experience the ultimate in grip, comfort, dexterity, and health.
MaxFit.
For more information on the next generation of thin glove technology,
go to MaxFitGloves.com
and use the promo code radio.
Call right now at 877-552-5206.
Wow.
MaxFit. Make sure hands go.
Wow.
You just might be only a few meals away from anarchy. Look at the recent world events and even the economic crisis. The time to prepare yourself and your family is now.
Now. Now.
For 1 week only, Ready Made Resources offers all GCN listeners 25% off on all Mountain House case lots.
And that includes free shipping.
Go to readymaderesources.com to see the variety of our quality Mountain House foods in a wide selection for every taste. Mountain House foods have a 25-year shelf life and are easy to prepare. Just add water for great tasting snacks or meals.
Yes, there is a catch.
This 25% off of case lots only lasts through March 15th. Hurry, go to readymaderesources.com or call toll free 1-800-627-3809 and mention GCN to get 25% off per case of Mountain House Foods with free shipping. That's 800-627-3809 or go to readymaderesources.com. Hurry, sale ends March 15th.
I do appreciate them, as I'm always soliciting your thoughts at americatonight.net, day or night, as I like to say. And, boy, a lot of you are responding to some of the things that have been shaking and rolling across the country and overseas lately. Jihad Jame making big news out of Pennsylvania, this blue-eyed, blonde woman who lived in a complex, an apartment complex, where people are in her neighborhood. People didn't realize what was going on. Of course they didn't. She's part of that sleeper cell gang in a different way. But really, she was going to pull the trigger on something pretty big and had gotten help from people overseas. Luckily, they nailed her, and they will nail her to the wall. I mean, she gets life. There's no question about it. What a waste. And how does she get from that point where ex-boyfriends are saying, well, she's just normal. You know, we just go eat cheesesteaks and walk on the beach and whatever. How does she go from that to being so disillusioned or crazed in the head that she gets swept up into, gosh, I feel horrible for the Muslims and I want to blow some people up or hurt some people, like this cartoonist who made fun of the Prophet Muhammad. So many of you expressed your two cents on Jihad Jame. Here's some of them. Dennis McMahon, our friend in Vermont, says the only thing missing from those interview comments was she was such a quiet person. She was overt, but makes you wonder the extent of terrorist sleeper operatives around. Also remind you how people can't be expected to, quote, notice stuff. My father used to tell me that during World War II, a New York City newspaper sent a reporter walking around Times Square in a German uniform and nobody noticed. Have a great day. Hey, he makes a great point there. And the point is, and we say this about other things too, like that nut Amy Bishop who killed those professors in Alabama, the whole red flag syndrome. I know I say it all the time. Why didn't somebody notice this? Why didn't somebody notice? And people just don't notice, especially now. How, you know, they have tests for how observant you are. And I would love to be tested for that, to see where I would come. In fact, we're going to do that on America Tonight. I'm going to get tested to see how observant I am. There are professionals who do it, and I'll let you know how I'm rated, and we'll have somebody on to talk about that. But there's things that people just don't notice. That's why it's easy, I think, and probably easier than ever, to assimilate. And certainly she was assimilating. I mean, she's an American, and she looked like everybody else, and, you know, you couldn't, quotes, profile her. And boy, she was preparing a major Molotov cocktail that would have went beyond this cartoonist if she had gotten to him. All right, here's more on Jihad Jane. This one is from Mark. Mark says, "Hey Kate, always fun to listen to your show. It's interesting the tapestry that you weave from sometimes funny hysterical things to really depressing things. Speaking of depressing, Jihad Jane, what's up with her? If you ask me, I think she needs a man. And I know that sounds like a trite, machoistic comment, but you know the old saying, I just don't understand how an American can say she feels sad for the Muslim people and took it to the extreme. How many more people do you think could be used in this country?" Okay, interesting. I got your little comment there too about the lack of sex. The thought that more people are being flipped is not the right word, but brainwashed or deciding to become soldiers for the Islamic jihadist movement is scary to me, whether they're influenced from afar by some radicalized imam or whoever it is that gets to them. That's dangerous stuff. It is. The Molotov cocktail comment fits into that. It is a powder keg when you think of how many people there are and how many people that could fit the bill of feeling anti-American or sick of what's happening or, you know, somehow feel as though they're helping Muslim people. Because you have to remember there's a difference. I mean, are there people that are fabulous, wonderful people among us that are Muslims, who are peace-loving, who love America, or have whatever thoughts they have, who are Americans, or people who came to America legally, all that kind of stuff? Absolutely. And you have to think that they cringe, more than cringe, at some of the things that happen when you have, like, the kid who was in Dallas and wanted to blow up a building, or you had Zazi in the situation there with what he wanted to do in the subways of New York. So the fact that you now have people like Jihad Jane trying to pull off what she was trying to pull off, I mean, it just adds to that whole fight on terror, how tough it is, how elusive it is, because who knows who's living in, you know, your own neck of the woods that's fired up and somehow has decided to trade places. It's crazy. This from Richard on Jihad Jane. "Kate, if you ask me, I think she's a traitor to the 10th degree. She ought to be shot by a firing squad. So now she will lose all the fabulous freedoms she had as an American. I guarantee she will never see the light of day." I don't think so either. As long as that evidence and everything else is sealed up tight like a drum, which I think it is, then I agree with you. There's no time, I don't think anytime soon she's going to be able to get out of prison, and especially once she goes through the system, I think they'll put her away and throw away the key. This one from Amber. Hey, Kate, I've been enjoying the show, and I particularly like it when you talk about foreign affairs. I think you have a pretty good grasp of what's happening internationally. I've heard some of the guests that you have on. I enjoy it when you've got people on from other places, like the guy you had on from Afghanistan. Yeah, that was Anand Gopal, and he was good in revealing a couple of things. For example, I was talking about, geez, you know, McChrystal is trying to win over the Afghanistan people, and when the casualties happened, he went to the airwaves and was translated into several different languages spoken over there, and, you know, wouldn't this touch the people? And he said no, because only 5% even have televisions, and if you want to influence the people, you have to be in the mosques and in the squares and talking to them, and that's the strength of the Taliban. And he added a few other things about the situation in Afghanistan and the troops and how tough it was in some of the areas where they were. So, yeah, he was we'll have him back on. He was great when he came on with us. This one from Dale G. Hello, Kate. I can't wait till you do Nail the Score again. I like all the stuff that you do on the show, but I particularly like it when you do Nail the Score. It's funny when the people call in and they take little digs at you, or you take digs back at them. When does Nail the Score start again? During the NCAA tournament, we're going to do Nail the Score, and we'll do it. I'll have to look at the schedule, but we'll probably do it the same night that we did it before on our show that swings into Friday morning. That makes probably the most sense of probably the third hour. Here's our last one, and you can send us your thoughts just like all of those people did at americatonight.net. And this one is from the Stroopster. Hello, I've been listening to you in Austin, Texas, and I try to catch your show whenever I can. My girlfriend actually now has started to listen as well. We'll probably call it sometime in the near future. What's the deal with Corey Haim? How did he die? Did it have to do with drugs, or was it something else? I'm hearing kind of different reports. All the best. So the deal with Corey Haim, who, as I said, was in a movie. I don't know why I like this movie, but I did. I like this movie. It's called Lost Boys. And he gained some notoriety working with Corey Feldman. But anyway, that's not the question. The question is, what did he die of? The people around him said he was really licking the whole drug addiction thing, and it was an enlarged heart. His mother came out and said it was an enlarged heart that took his life, but very, very sad, because he was just way too young, but he certainly had a troubled past. Send us your thoughts, americatonight.net.
Someday a real rain will come and wash all the scum off the streets.